Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
From Matthew 6, 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Thanks, Perry, Rachel and Ben. Nathan at the back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord's Prayer and pray that you would lead us again this morning as we think about this prayer and why Jesus taught it and how we can use this prayer in our own lives. Lord, we deal with a very difficult topic today of temptation and evil, and I pray that you'd help us to really grasp what you meant by praying about that and how we can pray about it so that we can stand firm as followers of Jesus. And I pray this in the precious, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, many modern people have trouble believing in God. In fact, the modern worldview doesn't really allow for such belief. God can't be seen, God can't be touched, can't be measured, and therefore, according to our modern worldview, God must then be dismissed or relegated to being just a character in a myth or an object of private belief. But it's not just so-called non-religious people that are impacted by the modern worldview, is it? Many Christians who do believe in God still actually have trouble in believing that there's an evil spiritual being at work in the world and in people's lives. And therefore, often people don't take him into account when they experience temptation or when they see or encounter evil. A few years ago, while I was living in Malawi, when we were living there, a friend of ours came out to visit us. And I was telling him a bit about our work, explained to him that people in our area often came to us where we lived, and they came and asked us to pray with them specifically about their fears and about some of the chronic maladies that they're experiencing, because they believed that they weren't just physical, they believed that some of these were actually demonic in origin. And when our friend heard this, he sort of blurted out. He said, "Oh, well, I believe in God, but I can't believe that there's an evil supernatural being like a devil or a demon who would be responsible for causing evil or who would be behind such maladies and fears." Since that time, I've actually wondered, well, how is he able to believe in God, who's actually an all-powerful, all-knowing spiritual being and the source of all goodness, and yet not able to actually believe that evil has a spiritual source as well, especially since evil just seems so tangible? We hear about some truly evil things happening in the world around us, and we're confronted by it on a daily basis. Not just out there, but we're confronted by our own temptations and sin. But it's common for modern people to explain these things away, saying that they have a biological or a social or a chemical or some sort of psychological root to them, rather than having a source in an evil spiritual being. And I can see how this sort of a thought occurs. These views come from the fact that we're brought up and taught not to consider that there could be non-physical or chemical or non-biological causes of things. We've allowed ourselves basically to see the world and the universe only in three dimensions. In fact, the writer C.S. Lewis raised this issue, saying that people tended to live at either two extremes when it comes to belief in the existence of evil spiritual beings. He said that people either disbelieve in the existence of them altogether, believing that there are no spiritual causes, or they have an unhealthy interest in the spiritual beings, believing that every accident, every illness, every mishap is caused by them. Perhaps you've never really considered where evil or where temptation come from in your own life until today. But the Bible says that every person who actually puts their faith in God has, in what God has done in Jesus, is actually rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Before a person believes in Jesus, they're living under the control of a different ruler, so to speak. They are under different management. And so they're living essentially in the kingdom of darkness under the rule of the evil one. And this sounds a bit strange to us, but this is what the Bible is telling us. But when a person believes in what God has done in Jesus, they're actually brought into the kingdom of light and brought under the rule of Christ, who is the King. In the book by C.S. Lewis and the film Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, classic that we love to read and watch, Narnia was actually living under a different ruler, the White Witch, and it was a kingdom of darkness when the children first went there. And this is why Mr. Tumnus, when telling Lucy about what the White Witch had done to Narnia, said that in Narnia it was always winter and never Christmas. What he meant was that Narnia was a cold and dark place ruled by the White Witch, and that all of Narnia needed deliverance from her. Jesus takes evil seriously, and he knows that we're impacted by the evil one, even as followers of Jesus, which is why he wants each of us to learn to pray this part of the Lord's Prayer that we are focusing on today, which is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You need to learn to pray this part of the prayer because evil is real and it has a source, and the source is the evil one. This is why Paul told the Ephesian Christians when he wrote to them, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In fact, the evil one is always seeking to rule and master you. That's what he does. He wants to either keep you in his kingdom of darkness or make your life so miserable with guilt and fear and other forms of oppression, even if you are a Christian. And it's been this way since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. In the book of Genesis, God told Cain, who was one of the first children of Adam and Eve, early on in the Bible, God told Cain when he felt tempted to kill his brother Abel out of jealousy, he said that sin is crouching at your door and it desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Sin was crouching at Cain's door because there was actually this active agent in the world feeding Cain's thoughts and desires, and this active agent was the evil one. You also need to learn to pray this prayer because actually your personal willpower is not enough to resist temptation, is it? Trying harder to resist temptation, trying to be more religious, throwing out the TV set or the iPad, going and living on a deserted island won't help you in the long run. Because as the apostle says, your enemy, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And the sea around any island, like the sea around Australia, is no barrier to the virus. The sea around any deserted island is no barrier for a spiritual being like him. Well, the good news this morning for us is that God hasn't left people alone in the world without resources to protect themselves from the schemes of the evil one. And so one of the weapons that Paul tells the Ephesian believers to use, to take up, so that they can actually stand against the devil's schemes. The devil is scheming and he's out there and he's trying to tempt you and to bring you down. But one of the weapons that Paul calls us to use is prayer. This is why he says to them, pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer is not something that you just do because you want to be a bit arty-farty. It's something, it's actually a weapon to actually protect yourself. But let's step back a bit and understand more specifically how we are to pray and seek God's help when tempted, and how we can experience deliverance from the evil one in our lives in reality today. When we look at this section of the Lord's Prayer, we can see that it has two parts to it, which is separated by a comma. Jesus says we are to pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The first part of this petition, and lead us not into temptation, it sometimes confuses people because it seems to say that God could lead people into temptation and that Jesus is telling us to pray and ask God not to do this. But this is not what Jesus means when he tells us to pray this prayer. Actually, a better way of understanding these two parts of the prayer is actually to see that both parts are talking about the same thing. And in fact, the first part states it negatively and the second half actually states it more positively. And another way of stating it, what Jesus taught his disciples might be easier to grasp is like this. Don't allow us to be so led into the temptations of the evil one that they overwhelm us, but rescue us from the evil one. And so when we understand the prayer this way, we can begin to see that Jesus is emphasizing that it is the evil one who tempts and causes evil and not God. We know this to be true, as elsewhere in the Bible we're told that God is good, or that God is light, as John describes him as, and in him there's no darkness at all. James wrote a similar thing in his letter when he said this. He said, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God doesn't tempt because he's fundamentally good. Sometimes, though, God may test people. But testing and temptation are different. And in that testing actually leads to a strengthening of a person's faith, where temptation always leads to sin. The prophet Abraham experienced a test when God sent him to Mount Moriah and told him to give his only son Isaac as a burnt offering there. Abraham obeyed God, and when God saw his faith, he showed Abraham a ram caught in a bush that he could sacrifice in Isaac's place. And so this test actually strengthened Abraham's faith. James says we should consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because testing of your faith produces perseverance, which is what it did in Abraham's situation. Sometimes, though, testing and temptation can seem a little similar. You're not really sure whether you're being tested or tempted. And it's important to know which one is which. In a sense, this is what the first part of the petition, lead us not into temptation, is telling us to discern through prayer. You see, it's the evil one who leads people into temptation. But the Bible tells us that it is God who actually guides and leads people on paths of righteousness. In Psalm 23, David says, "He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake." You see, God isn't just trying to stop you from falling into temptation, like a parent tries to stop their kid from falling over when they take their first wobbly attempts at riding a bike. God is not just standing behind us passively until we start to topple over. God is actually active in leading and guiding us away from temptation and sin. This means as we pray this part of the Lord's Prayer, we're meant to be open with God and talk to him about all our temptations and struggles and to ask him to guide us and lead us onto paths of righteousness. We'd ask him to guide our thoughts and to help us take every thought captive, as Paul told the Romans to do in Romans 12:1. The second side of this petition, "Deliver us from the evil one," tells us how to deal with temptation once we actually discern that this is what it is. And it tells us how we're able to be delivered ultimately from the schemes of the evil one. In some translations it says, "Deliver us from evil." This may be the way that you actually learned this prayer when you were growing up or when you were younger. But the word used for evil doesn't actually mean evil in an abstract sense or some sort of evil force. The word actually means evil personified. And so it's actually an evil being whom we need to be delivered from and who is called elsewhere in the Bible the devil or Satan. And so Jesus wants us to be aware that there is a cause of evil and temptation. He wants us to know that it's not just bad luck or bad genes or chemicals that cause people to want to do bad things. And until you come to understand this, you'll never be able to apply the right tools for dealing with temptation and evil in your life. You'll never deal with the temptations you face on a daily basis, and you won't see evil retreating in your life or in the world around you until you recognize that you have a real adversary who is plotting your downfall and who wants to see your spiritual life and the lives of the ones you love go down the drain. The devil wants only to smash and wreck your life so that you either become hard and cynical or feel guilty and hopeless or all of the above. The good news is that God, or that is with God's help, we can actually discern the devil's temptations and we can be people who endure and overcome the temptations in our lives, because as John tells us in his letter, he says, he who is in us, that's Jesus, that's the Spirit of God, is more powerful than he, that is the devil, who is in the world. We shouldn't be deceived by the modern worldview that insists that what you see is what you get, and that all our issues are natural or biological, and that we can solve them ourselves with willpower or just human wisdom. To stand firm in your faith, you must see that you're actually in the midst of a spiritual battle, one that you need God to deliver you from. And when you come to this awareness, it should drive you to pray. What do you do with the temptations in your life? What do you do with the evil that you encounter around you in your life? Have you been dismissing it, ignoring it, bearing it, trying to resist it in your own strength? These are the ways that modern people often try to deal with temptation and evil, but they're not the way that Jesus taught his disciples to deal with it, or how he teaches us here in this prayer to deal with it. You see, you're actually involved in a spiritual battle. It's not a flesh and blood thing, though flesh and blood are often involved. But there's someone behind the temptation and evil that you experience in your life and in the world in which we live. And the only way that you're able to actually resist it, to endure it, and actually to stand firm as a follower of Jesus in this war is by using the spiritual weapons that God provides. One of which of those is prayer. Throughout the Bible, when God's people are attacked either by internally by temptation or externally by the evil actions of others that are provoked by the evil one, they've combated through prayer these things, asking God for help and deliverance. The prophet Daniel, who was taken into exile, was a person who prayed and asked God for help on many occasions. And if you actually read the book of Daniel, you read some of the prayers in there, you'll see that each time Daniel prayed and asked God for help, it says quite specifically that help was immediately sent. But sometimes, though, we actually read that the help actually was delayed in actually arriving at where Daniel was. And in one incident, Michael the archangel actually says that he was sent as soon as Daniel started praying. But he was delayed because he met opposition. And by that, I believe he met demonic opposition on the way that slowed him down. But he dealt with this opposition and then he came and helped Daniel. We need to learn also that when we pray and ask for God's help, for discernment, for guidance, for deliverance from temptation and evil, that God will also help us. And he will help us more profoundly and even more powerfully than he did for Daniel, because we live post the cross. Even though you may have flunked many tests and given into a lot of temptation in your life, you need to begin today to pray and ask God to help you discern what is going on in your life and in the world, and ask God for deliverance from the schemes of the evil one in your life. You can have confidence that God hears you when you pray, and then he will deliver you, because as the writer in the book of Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with us in our weaknesses. But we also have one who has been tempted in every way. This is Jesus, just as we are, yet he didn't sin. And because of this, he says, we are to approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our natural reaction often when we experience temptation is to pull back from God, isn't it? To hide, to not pray. But it's counterintuitive, you see, to seek to talk with God when we feel shame. But this is exactly what Jesus is telling us to do. But Jesus didn't come just to deal only with our personal temptations and struggles with sin, as good as this is. He also came to defeat the evil and the evil one altogether, and to deliver people from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. We see the outworking of the evil one's schemes all around us today in stark reality, in the horrors of war, in human folly, and in the terrible accidents that our folly produces. We see the evil one's work in our society that enables rich fortresses and cardboard homes to exist in the same city. We see the work of the evil one in the rise of domestic violence, in the loss of meaning, and the hopelessness that has gripped people who are wealthy and educated beyond any other time in history, yet who find no meaning in life apart from seeking pleasure. We see the evil one in the attitudes and even the actions of a few at this time who are endangering many in the pandemic. How else do you explain such hateful behavior, such self-centeredness, such spiritual poverty in the world, apart from the work of the evil one? At the end of the day, you have to ask, where do these behaviours and attitudes come from? And how are we going to be delivered from them? The answer, says Jesus, is that they are the work of the evil one, and that we are to pray and ask God to deliver us from the evil one, because there is no one else who can. This prayer is also important to us to pray as a community and not just individually, because it reminds us that we're involved in mission with God in our community, and that the only way we're ever going to see God's kingdom of light breaking in around us in our community is if God leads us onto paths of righteousness together and actually helps us together to discern the temptations that impact us. And until we actually ask God to deliver us from the evil one who seeks to harm all of us in our community. This is part of our job. This is part of our role as a community of faith. When we begin to pray together, deliver us from the evil one, we're actually stating to God that we need you and we're dependent on you to do what we can't do. It also reminds us that there is a cause to the resistance and the rejection of the gospel by people. And it's not just because of personal choice that people don't follow Jesus. If we want to make any headway in this community in sharing the gospel, in sharing it with your loved ones, with your friends, with your neighbours, then we will need to come together as a community and begin to pray, deliver us from the evil one. As the band comes up to play, I want to ask you today, what will you do today? Will you do this today? Will you begin to pray this prayer? Will you join us as a community in praying this prayer? Do you see why it's so important to see that there is a source of temptation that you experience in your life, and there is a source of the evil that we see in the world around us? I hope that you do, and that this causes you to pray, because only by understanding the source of evil and temptation correctly will you be able to start praying actively for God's deliverance from the evil one.